and Ali Rewind.
Hi. This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Ali.
Is this real? I mean, is this real? Dancing with the Stars debuted last night, Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
Probably the most popular one just because of Tiger King right now.
Yeah.
She's not the most famous, but I mean, I would put a Backstreet Boy over her any day.
Yeah,
but
she's definitely up there, though, because they're getting trending. a lot of attention because of her.
There was a smart pull.
Totally
so
smart.
When I woke up this morning and I started talking to Riggs and he said, did you see the commercial that Carol Baskin's ex-husband aired last night? I said,
Allie?
I'm sorry. Wait, they did a commercial on her dead husband? Are you kidding me right now?
Carol Baskin, her yeah. ex-husband, who is no longer with us, the family of that ex-husband, ran a commercial during Dancing with the Stars last night. During her performance, I have the audio. Here it is right now. Do you want to hear this?
I need to have so many questions.
Because Carol Baskin's performance, by the way, let me tell you, first of all, was very lackluster. I mean, she's not there because she can dance. She's there because she is the name that they're bringing in. Tiger King
boring,
was the biggest
dude.
Thing.
It's the only time she gets interesting is when she starts sparring with Joe Exotic.
Yep.
Otherwise, Carol Baskin is boring and average as hell, dude.
So,
I'm sorry.
Her presumably dead husband, Don Lewis, who's been missing since 1997. They don't know what happened to him. So the family...
Yeah. She could have gotten away with it for 20-some years now.
Could have killed her husband and whacked him. We don't know. Maybe. So here's the ad they ran last night. This is Don Lewis's family, Carol Baskin's ex-husband. Check it.
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family. And to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
I'm Ann, Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers.
He's a lawyer.
They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded.
100 grand.
You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
Or call our office at 800-LITIGATE. Thank you.
I gotta tell you, Riggs, that was amazing. And if somebody killed one of my family members, it'd be on, dude. And let me tell you something else. If that family member was continuing to go across the nation and say they were innocent and then go on a show and profit from it, knowing damn well part of the story people are just into is the husband factor, then I'd be I'd be furious.
I would too, Allie. You know what? I think you and I are about to get $100,000 richer. Because
do we call the hotline and tell them Carol Baskin did it? Is that how we get it?
We call that hotline and we play them this.
I don't even want to laugh.
Carol Baskin.
We play them this.
Killed her husband, whacked him. Can't convince me that it didn't happen.
You can't.
Fed him to tigers, they snacking.
Evidence is there. It'd be
Carol
such
Baskin.
An easy, it's the perfect crime.
Yes, but do you think... Okay, so who could possibly tell on Carol Baskin if you think it out?
Joe Exotic, and he's in prison. That's why. That's why.
No.
He had to know something. That's my deep conspiracy theory is that Joe Exotic knew something. Yes, he was terrible to the animals and should be locked up for a lot of effed up stuff. But I think Joe Exotic knew more. Yeah, totally. Totally.
But I think that that would be the sweetness of it all, I mean, is that if she and Joe Exotic both ended up in prison, instead of like famous superstars, like that would be a little more fair. Okay?
Sign me up for the 30-day free trial of that streaming service. I'll watch it. I'll watch it. It's a 5-day fight, man. It's been going on for 5 long days, my wife and I. Finally, it comes to an end today. I'm so glad.
I need to know what happened.
Because it's been almost borderline violence in our house, Allie. Borderline.
Marriage is tough, man.
We've been watching this show on Netflix. We watched it a while ago. Zac Efron, Down to Earth on Netflix. Have you watched this one
yet? I'm sorry. No, but can you give me 5 seconds, Riggs?
Please.
I'm on the radio. Come back later. Okay, anyway, somebody was knocking on my damn door. Where were we, Riggs? To the juice we go.
That's the joys of working from home.
God. God, love it and hate it. Okay, yeah. Go on. I love my kids, but that's, yeah. So yeah. Anyway.
So we were watching Zac Efron basically travels around the world and he finds like sustainable ways to live, ways to do things better, like different cultures, how they do things, how they get their food, how they get their energy. And okay. He does this whole episode on Sardinia, which is a region in Italy.
Oh, okay.
It's a region in Italy, right?
Yes.
And there's a little town in Sardinia that has the largest population per capita of centaurians, people who've lived over 100 years old.
These big words. Well, it brings me, I can't even right now.
The oldest people
Sardinia,
in the world.
Sardinia, centaurians.
Yes.
Feels so much like my brain's got to work right now.
Sorry. My brain is on overdrive because I've been going back to school, so my brain's in like full flux lately.
You're too smart for this show. Get the hell out, dude. Get out of here. What's wrong with
you?
So
it's like the,
anyway.
But the people there can live to be over 100. There's so many people. Like it's a little bitty village, but people live to be well over 100.
Their lifespan is insane, basically.
Their lifespan is insane, and they're still cognitive, and they can still do things, and they do tests on these people, and they're vibrant. It's amazing. So my wife is fascinated with this, and they're talking about what they eat and their diet. And there's this doctor that they're interviewing, and she starts doing research on this doctor from this show, the Zac Efron show, and she starts this diet. It's this 5-day fast. It's like a 5-day cleanse.
5 days?
5 days where she kind of like
absurd.
It cleanses herself. She's on soups and like these seed crackers and all these weird things. She's eating a very little amount throughout the day. So every day has a little box. There's 5 days in the fast. And every box has a different amount of things you can eat. One of them has a different bar. One of them has a tea.
So they fast for 5 days. Where are we going with it? What happened?
I'm eating like a normal person for 5 days. And she likes to eat like a normal person. So I'm trying to go about my life and having meals. And she isn't eating anything because she's sticking to this fast. So I'm having things
she's into it.
I'm having like a cauliflower crust pizza, a little mini personal one. And she loves pizza. She's like, what are you doing eating pizza? I'm on a fast. And I go, I don't care about your fast. I'm not on a fast. You're on a fast. And I'm not going to modify everything I'm eating because of your fast.
Well, you could go two ways on this, Rick.
I know.
One way, you could say you're being completely unsupportive.
Yes.
And in other ways, you could say that you're just going, I'm going to continue to be myself, so I'm not pretending in this marriage.
Exactly.
I don't know. Look, this is a tough one. And I don't think a 5-day fast is good for anyone. And, you know, can I be fair with it? We do intermittent fasting here and there with keto, but it's like for like 6-8 hours, like from the morning to lunch. We don't fast for 5 days. Like that blows my mind.
It's done by a doctor. I mean, it's healthy the way that she's doing it.
There are doctors that also tell you that COVID's not real. So don't even get me started on doctors.
My wife's a type 1 diabetic, so she did a lot of research on this to make sure that it's something that's good for her body because she doesn't want to mess up her blood sugars. That's the last thing she wants to do.
So wait, what's
when she's
her goal?
Insulin dependent, she
to
just wants to.
Longer
she just
what?
Wants to cleanse herself, and she loves. She was fascinated with the Zac Efron show, and so the past 5 days, I've been doing my best to not eat like her favorite meals. So I am being supportive in that sense.
Okay,
but
fine.
I'm like, I'm not. But I told her before she started this, I was like, I'm not going to modify my diet. Like I'm eating healthier.
Right.
But I'm not going to completely bend over backwards.
I need some husbands or people in relationships or women. I need you to call and give advice because I'm way too single to get involved in this, quite frankly. I have thoughts, but I don't know if they're relevant because I don't even know how this works anymore. When you live with somebody, I forgot.
Your spouse is on a diet, but you're not. Does it start fights? 414-799-1037. 414-799-1037. Read your text. Take your calls next. Congratulations. My wife made it to the end of a 5-day fast and the end of a 5-day fight over the food in our house.
Oh, man.
It's been a ride, man.
Okay, so I know we have people on the phone, but what happens? I didn't ask you. So she does the 5-day fast and then what?
Well,
then
there's soups and stuff that are involved with the fast. So she's eating some foods. There's some snacks and like some crackers and some like health bars.
Does she go back to normal? Just tell me what she does when it's
slowly.
Over. I don't care what she does during the fast.
She goes back
what
to
after?
It slowly. So afterwards, she needs to eat like apples or fruits and vegetables and things, raw
so
foods
things
to kind of
ease
her.
She should be eating anyway.
Yeah. To ease her back. She can't just go and have a Big Mac or something. She can't just go to Taco Bell tomorrow.
Okay.
Or something like that. Or even
but
like.
It's not for weight loss. It's just
Just to cleanse. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, I just want to be clear.
It kind of resets, and she's looked into it. It's not any sort of anything longer than 5 days. So
the internet will tell you what you want to hear. We've learned that.
Of course it will.
I am not into a 5 day thing, but you know, I haven't lived with somebody in so long. What, 7 years? I haven't lived with a dude. I can't even tell you what this argument would be like nowadays with diets and stuff.
Amy's in Racine this morning. Amy, have you had this happen in your house before?
I diet on and off, and my now husband, ever since we even started dating, always was willing to make meal adjustments and everything.
Yeah.
So it was always actually pretty helpful. So, but then obviously if I wanted to binge, he would just make the comment like, "You're the one unhappy with your body, not me." So then if I wanted to go have a pizza or whatever, he would totally want to go out with pizza. But then he knew I was getting unhappy again, so he would say, "Let's roast some veggies for our sides." But then anything that I want to eat that he wouldn't like, that's what I meal prep for my lunches. And then that way we can still eat healthy dinners together that we both enjoy.
Yeah.
Can I just say, like, it's, I really love what she's saying. It's interesting because, you know, as a woman, I can't speak for other people. Well, let me just say for myself, sometimes women will take a comment like that as, "Oh, you think I'm fat? You think I..." No, but like, she doesn't. That's my point. So like, we would be like, "What do you mean I'm going to, are you saying that because you think I'm gaining weight?" Like, literally, when he might genuinely just mean, "You're going to be unhappy and then I'm going to be unhappy."
Right.
And so for them to be able to recognize that
it's unfair for them to say that. Then they self-reject back onto their man. Like, no,
self-rejection. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, he just doesn't want to hear me complain, and he knows that there's ways I can change it. So, and I mean, it's not, I don't believe in starving myself or anything like that. So
no,
we definitely just look up menus or like things to try to make together or meal prep on the weekend.
That's good.
And that's the same thing I talked to my wife before she started this. I said a 5-day fast, my wife is insulin dependent. She's a type 1 diabetic. So she has to be very, very conscious of her blood sugars 24 hours a day. I said, "Is this healthy for you to do?" And she's looked into it and she's done her research and I trust her. But yeah, for 5 days though, 5 days. Well, Amy, thank you for calling. Appreciate you listening.
Thank you.
Lindsay is in Waukesha. Lindsay, have you had diet debates in your house?
Actually, no. I've been redoing my lifestyle when it comes to you in the past year. And I've basically just substituted my meals, and I offer it to my family. And sometimes they take it, sometimes they don't.
Okay.
I personally feel like it's kind of like a self-choice.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to have success when you really want it. So
that's right. She sounds like me in a lot of ways.
I was going to ask you, Allie.
I agree with everything you say, and I do the same thing. I fast from like night to morning kind of
situation. Yeah.
So, and it's really about what you want, because forcing it on somebody, you know, and like you said, you're being supportive, and that was sweet. Like, you're not making her favorite meals in front of her. And
no.
So just doing those little things, I mean, that's all you can do. And if anything, she's just probably more upset that she can't eat the delicious things that you're eating.
And that's the whole...
It's nothing personal. Well, it's more or less she's just...
Oh, and I'm very well aware of that, because the other day she said, "Can I just smell your pizza? I just want to smell it." And I was like, "Sure, you can smell it." She's like, "Oh, I can't wait to eat this."
Think about that. What she said about food and all that. Like, I go out, and what do I say to people? I say, "I don't want anyone worried about what I'm eating."
Yeah.
You just go... Pick where you want to go, and I will figure it out, because it's about me and it's about my own choices. But that's what she's saying right there. She says, I cook for myself. I maintain my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And she's saying, but then if my family wants to join, fine. If not, I don't care, because I'm taking care of my lifestyle
and my health.
Yeah.
Well,
I get
good for
it.
You, Lindsay. I hope that everything keeps...
It shows my husband and my kids that, you know, it's your personal choice and that you have to make these decisions for yourself, because no one's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck on the lifestyle change, the diet change. Hope it keeps going well for you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
You look amazing, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I look okay, too.
Wait, hold on, though. Riggs can see me on FaceTime. Riggs, is my hair... I'm not looking
hot
today.
Dude, Hot Mess Express.
Hot Mess Express. I look like I just rolled... Oh, girl, you don't want to see me today, but thank you.
103.7 KISS FM. It's Riggs and Allie, 657. Do you know what's going on at Marquette now?
What?
There's a quarantine now at Marquette. Did you hear what's happening at Marquette?
I saw this.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so wait,
couple things
I'm assuming... go ahead. You go first.
Obviously,
I have questions.
Obviously, school back in session for a lot. College students as well.
Everyone's back in.
3% of Schroeder Hall residents have tested positive for COVID-19 at Marquette. So they're on a 2-week quarantine now. Just in that specific hall. So they've got like news reporters out there all morning. UW-Madison yesterday Madison said that they are canceling spring break. They're removing it from the calendar just to keep the school year rolling. They don't want students traveling away, which you can take.
Send people off.
I was going to say,
stuff back.
You can take
I get it.
Spring break away from kids, but you can't take kids away from spring break.
That's right. Sure. But isn't it? You ever wonder about humanity that you have to these college? Like we can't. The college kids are grown-ups, but yet they can't stop. They can't stop spreading it, right? So like. And this is happening all over the country.
Were we, both, like, we were just talking about this off the air. Like, what would you have done in college if this was happening? If you were having a global pandemic while you were in college, which I am right now. It's virtual, but I'm not.
I had
but
to like think college, back, like, when I was in the, when I lived in dorms in college, like, I probably would have been completely irresponsible and stupid. Now, I don't know. I say that now, but I don't know, honestly.
You don't know.
I don't think, and I don't think a lot, I don't think every student's acting that way.
No.
Because I've seen actual college kids do interviews saying, we're just trying to go to class and, like, follow the rules, and our roommates keep partying, and now, and that puts them in a weird position, and then the roommates think the other person's lame. I mean, you want to talk about peer pressure. The pandemic could it make it worse?
There's
you know
a guy,
what I mean?
There's a random dude that I follow on TikTok that goes to college that was talking about, he was doing an announcement to his school saying, please, just follow the rules so we don't have to quarantine. I don't want to be stuck in here. And then the day he's like, now I'm stuck in my damn dorm room for 2 weeks.
Because
tiny
you
little
guys
room.
Did it.
Because everybody else did it. Now he has to pay.
This is almost the feeling with anything with COVID, like school, like, you know, anything I do, you know, you see people branch out too far in your opinion, and you go, God, this is why we can't make any progress, man. You know what I mean? So,
that's what's happened.
Tough.
Yeah,
it
was just
so Marquette is quarantined. Are they, but my other question is, are they going to be able to keep them quarantined?
That's a
really?
Good question. They can go home as long as they have proof that they went home, stayed home, and get a COVID test has to be negative. Then they can come back, so they can leave.
Oh, that's
they
a little
can.
Bit of hope,
right? So, but it has to be like all documented. Like you can't just all right, go ahead. There needs to be a paper trail showing.
Well, so all I know is there's probably a lot of interesting stuff going on in the next 2 weeks.
Yes,
lockdown. Wow.
Wash your hands and sneeze into your elbow, please. Thank you.
This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Allie.
Yeah.
All right. You couldn't have told me something crazier on a Tuesday morning, baby. Apparently, Carol Baskin, well, we know she was on Dancing with the Stars last night.
She was very stiff, by the way. I DVR'd it, and my wife was like, you're DVRing Dancing with the Stars? I go, shut up, Carol Baskin's on tonight. She went, oh, let's watch. She was very stiff. Obviously,
you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
They tell you that, but the problem is, she probably has no soul. Like,
can
you really see her dancing? So, like,
literally.
Think about, she just ended up being a stiff dancer. They tell you to be stiff with ballroom dancing because your arms need to be up. And it's technique.
It's posture, too.
It's technique, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I get that, but because I've done, the local Dancing with the Stars, so I learned that. But she's just boring and awkward probably when she dances, right?
But
I don't
her performance
know.
Was not the talk, Allie. It was the commercial that aired. Her ex-husband's family, Don Lewis, her ex-husband, right? This is so it's his...
The one everybody thinks she killed, right, from watching Tiger King.
This is commercial with his three daughters, a former employee, and an attorney who goes, like, straight after Carol Baskin in this commercial.
Wait. So they aired this during Dancing with... This is genius, because if somebody screwed with my family member, I would do the same.
Hey,
oh, I
got to
hear it. I
got
to hear
check
it.
Check it out.
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family. And to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
Damn right.
I'm Ann, Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
Or call our office at 800-LITIGATE.
I couldn't believe he went, do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
You know what? Hey, Carol, sue him if you're not involved. Then sue him, Carol, and I bet she's not gonna.
Nope.
I bet she's not gonna.
She won't.
I think this was genius. Because like I said, if somebody screwed with my family member, it'd be on.
Yeah.
And if I saw them, excuse me, I'm getting too worked up. So now I'm getting, hold on.
Right? Tiger King will do this to people.
I'm getting worked up. If you saw, like, so you thought, you knew or thought someone killed your family member and they're profiting now on a famous show, I'd be furious. My only concern is that the $100,000 reward, believe it or not, is too low because I think Carol Baskin now has the money to pay people off. So I think any type of information's going to have to be more than that, in fairness. I think she can just pay people off.
A million, you think?
Oh, that would get it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah?
Somebody would take a million.
Hell,
but who has a million?
Well, I don't know. But I'll, for $100,000, I'll call him playing this song right here.
Carol Baskin.
Which is the answer.
Killed her husband, whacked him.
You right?
Can't convince me that it didn't happen.
You can. You can.
Fed him to tigers, they snacking.
It's the perfect crime.
Carol Baskin.
You kill your husband, you feed him to the tigers, he's gone. That's perfect.
She's not even sad about it. We all saw Tiger King. We know what's happening here, Riggs. She didn't even care. I think we know. I mean... And her new husband's a dork. What a dumbo. Jeez Louise,
on
that
guy. Leash in there. Oh, if you haven't seen Tiger King, now that was like the thing in March now. But if you still haven't seen it, you should still go watch it. It'll still
I can't even believe it if
still.
You haven't seen it by this point, quite frankly. Carol Baskin's new husband is like when women get with a dude that everybody knows a murderer or a liar and they go, what?
What?
He's the dumb chick. It's like the equivalent. He's the dumb guy.
He
it
totally
goes both ways,
is.
Dude. I have no respect for that dude. Why would you get involved with a chick whose husband's missing? You're crazy.
Hey, commercial free hours. We do them all day, every day. And we got one coming up for you next. Hold on. This documentary on Netflix is, wow. It will open your eyes to how you do things online, how things that you interact with online happen, with social media in general. Go ahead.
I was fascinated by it because I've already been talking to my therapist a little bit about this with everything going on this year and between COVID and social injustice and, you know, social media and then how much filters and all these things we use now. Women retouch every photo. And, like, I started just realizing how much was going on with social media. And I started getting disturbed by it, where I started going in and going, I feel like social media is really affecting us too much.
Yeah.
People are putting way too much weight into other people. I'm comparing myself. Other people are comparing themselves to me. And there's just no comparison, you know? And this is why social media can be awful,
this documentary, The Social Dilemma, shows how social media exploits that exact feeling. They use human psychology basically against you to suck you in, to lure you in. The line that stood out for me, Allie, I don't know if you remember this one, they said, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product.
Right.
And that gave me goosebumps because, when they said that, because I was like, you know, you don't pay a dime for Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or TikTok or Snapchat or any of that stuff. You don't pay a dime for that. Mm-mm. So they use everything that you look at. Yes,
yeah. You. and it was fascinating because Netflix came out with this new documentary, which is like a Sundance Film Festival documentary. It's called The Social Dilemma. Yep. So if you haven't seen it, I want you to call or text if you have 414-799-1037 because it's one of those documentaries you watch and it changes your view of social media, I think, forever.
Yeah.
But the whole point of the documentary are all these people who were really high up at these big social.
Facebook.
I'm talking about like the head of Twitter, the head of Facebook, like all these people. And
the guy that invented the Facebook like button is in it.
The guy that invented the like button is actually going out and fighting for ethics on social media. That guy says when he started, he thought it was for good. And now he's like trying to fix the mess they've made. So they have a full ethical, but there's no way to really monitor it. You know,
the documentary we're talking about is called The Social Dilemma. You can call or text 414-799-1037. I liked how it was documentary, but they also had like a storyline going with it with actors kind of showing how it happens in the real world where there's this kid. He's a younger high school kid and he's got his phone and then he's not on his phone for a minute. And it goes like inside the algorithm of social media. And it's like, what's wrong with this kid? He's on break. He should be on his phone right now. Send him a notification.
Social media search, sending him notifications to try to get him back and bring him back into yeah.
Sucks him back in, and then he goes and waves to a friend and sees a video. He likes the video, and then they give him an ad that he likes for a product that he likes. Oh, does he like political things? Mm-hmm. We'll give him something that's more right-leaning. We'll give him something that's more left-leaning. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
And how basically your feed eventually becomes just what you want to see, and you're on your own little planet. And it's true. You can forget half a world is existing if your feed is just what you want to see.
Well, yeah, it's your confirmation bias is what that's called. You're looking for everything that you want for the answers that you believe, and you create your own world. But if people are calling, you can also text as well. 414-799-1037.
Yeah. Somebody said on text, my mind was blown. I deleted social media years ago because it was so consuming. Very good documentary. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. 414-799-1037. We'll talk to you. We'll read your texts next. You ever feel like your social media is following you and like it knows what you're thinking before you even think it? Turns out that's all planned. It's all in this new documentary, The Social Dilemma, that Allie and I have both watched on Netflix. And it's fascinating. It really is.
I just say, like, my goal is not to tell people not to use social media. I actually love social media, but I think this documentary should be used for awareness as to how far you're taking your social media and how far you're getting. Are you online or are you offline? How much of your online life is making all your decisions? Are you actually living offline at all, or are you just living online? I mean, it's a real stuff to think about.
Uh-huh. Because it feels like there's two worlds. There's like the real world and there's the digital social world, the internet
world. Where
people
pretend to be hotter and better people and all these things. It's like, just keep it real. Just say I look like crap today and I look good tomorrow. Yep. Like, I'm sorry, honey. We all know your pictures are filtered 7 days in a row. Like, stop.
If you're not paying for the product, you are the product is one of the lines that stood out to me. I wrote that down, that line, because I was like, wow. They're right. I'm not paying for Facebook. They're using me. I'm the product. Good morning, Kiss FM. Andrew is listening on his way to Madison this morning. What up, Andrew?
Not much. I wanted to weigh in on that because I guess from what I've heard, a lot of Netflix, there's a lot of controversy with Netflix right now as well.
Oh, you're talking about the other show that everyone's complaining about.
Cuties?
Oh, Cuties? Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm a father of five,
so we have to explain that. Because people, remember, these are things only part of the world knows because our feeds only show us what we want.
Yeah.
But there is a show that Netflix picked up. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, it's a movie. It's like a French film about these. I believe she's a Muslim girl, I want to say. Basically, she's a very conservative girl, and she starts feeding into
that's a religion, though, not a race.
Right.
So I don't know.
It is a religion.
Right.
But the way that religion works, though, is that they're very protective of women, and they don't show their bodies or anything like that. Yes.
Oh.
So she...
it's relevant, then.
She then breaks out and joins this whole dance troupe, and there's all these underage girls in it. So the controversy around that is that they're focusing on the sexuality of these children and the pedophilia around it. Because there's this...
It's disgusting. Yeah. The clips that I've seen of, like, the girls grinding and they're, like, little girls is gross. I'm with you. It's gross.
So what were you... Are you still there, Andrew?
Oh, no. Did we lose him?
Oh, no. I think he wanted us to talk about that, and we did. And he was like, well, job done.
Or we lost him. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. One of the two. So, but that's something else how people perceive that documentary and the things that you watch about that documentary are all based on your worldview and how you perceive things. And that's kind of the baseline for the whole Social Dilemma documentary, if you haven't seen it. And it's fascinating. So, yes, you're right, Allie. I wouldn't encourage people to get off of social media because they talk about how the good things that it has. It brings people together. It keeps people in touch.
Fundraising. You see your friends and know what they're up to without having to call them all the time.
Yes. I mean, it's eliminated a lot of things, like just phone calls
anymore.
My
issue is the self-worth stuff and how we see ourselves. That's been my big issue is really realizing how much is posted of people that – isn't genuine.
Yeah.
I really am shocked by how much even I think women way more than men do that, where we filter, where we retouch, where
You'd
we
be
use.
Surprised.
I mean, there are separate apps women go into to fix their makeup before they post a picture. Do you get this, people? Like, it's crazy. I could go into an app, Riggs, and paint my face on, put it on, and I bet you people would be like, "You look so pretty, Allie." Oh, and they would never know that I had used two apps to fix my appearance because I'm so insecure. I didn't do this, but I'm saying, because I'm so insecure. about what they're... It's all bad.
They had plastic surgeons.
Into our self-esteem.
Plastic surgeons were getting requests for like Snapchat filter face flips and everything. Yeah. Because of social media. So be mindful of what you're putting on social media. I wonder if this is Andrew calling back. Good morning, Kiss FM.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of touch on the conversation that Riggs and Allie are having right now about the...
Yeah, you're on the air. What's up?
That's us. We're on the radio. Keep it clean. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Carter. I'm from Milwaukee.
Hi, Carter. What did you have to say? We're talking about The Social Dilemma on Netflix, the documentary about social media and the psychology behind it. What did you think? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I actually wanted to touch on Cuties, the show you guys
We can't get off of Cuties. Apparently, the real problem is Cuties with Netflix.
Somebody yanked the chain with Cuties. Yeah, what's up?
I actually just wanted to touch on, because I think it's important that it's actually shown. Like, I understand why people are, like, super grossed out about it.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to show that this is what young girls have to turn to, because I think this is how the more media portrays that they want girls how to act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they can't have any... Yeah, but... so you're saying it's not more about a girl breaking out of a world that a man can live in just fine and a woman can't. But then can we do that with, like, 18-year-olds?
Yeah. Can we do it documentary style and not showing literal actor 13-year-old girls gyrating and stuff on screen like that for...
I don't know. Do I sound
creeps
old?
That are out there? I don't know.
I gotta hear her feedback.
Yeah, so... I actually think that it's important that it is young girls, and I'm not defending pedophilia here.
Yeah, no, I want to hear your take, for real, for real.
Yeah.
I think it's important that representation is super important in the media.
Fair.
Unfortunately, it is the reality for young girls, especially in the United States, to see this kind of stuff and grow up learning that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's important...
What kind of stuff? Be specific. Learning what?
Like over-sexualization of their bodies because of what the media portrays. And young girls, unfortunately, are the most susceptible to it. And they grow up learning this stuff. So it's important to see that even as young girls, it's not okay for them to over-sexualize their bodies, even if it is the reality for most young
girls. So wait, are you saying Cuties is actually supposed to piss people off because it's supposed to make you mad that we're sexualized? Like, they want you to be mad about the sexualization and people are missing that point? Or am I picking up on what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I genuinely believe that that is what they were...
I just think a lot of the other side of that argument is the creepy people that don't see that just see it as like exciting material, and it feeds
like that, that's like saying it's the woman's fault if somebody's sick.
I'm saying there's creepos out there.
So I'm not saying you said that, but you have to remember we can't blame the women or the girls.
No, I'm blaming the creepy
other people's
I'm blaming the creepy dudes out there, because I'm going to say it's mostly dudes, these pedophile dudes that are over sexualizing the girls as well, that see that material and they're like, oh my god, this is great. If this is on TV, this has to be okay. I can go out and do it.
Absolutely.
It is not women's fault for the over-sexualization of their bodies.
I get what you're saying. I get that, girl. I get that too.
And that's an interesting argument that I haven't heard before. So thank you for calling in with that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Then somebody said, what was the name? Somebody you're texting in. What was the name of the documentary? I caught the end of the conversation. We were talking about The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
Yes.
To which everyone got pissed about the show Cuties on Netflix, which is why people are trying to cancel Netflix. So we were just ended up in an open conversation about that. And here we are. But really,
look,
we're trying to talk about social media. Of course, they're going nuts because of Cuties and The Social Dilemma.
I know. Well, we'll continue the conversation. 414-799-1037 next. The Social Dilemma documentary will make you rethink things that you post online, things that you look at online. It'll make you rethink your whole world and social media.
Yeah. And it should if it doesn't. Yeah.
That's our discussion right now. It's 103.7 Kiss FM. By the way, this is a commercial-free hour. We do commercial-free hours all day, every day. And then it spurred into kind of a discussion about the Cuties show, which did you want to read that on the air since we just talked about it?
I was just reading Netflix's defense, and I was reading about the director because it won awards. And so Netflix issued an apology right away because people were mad about the artwork and saying it sexualized girls. And they said it was not okay, nor was it representative of this French film that won an award at Sundance.
Yeah.
They said, we've updated the pictures and description, but they're not pulling it down. And the director, the woman who directed it, said the reason she made Cuties was to bring awareness to the sexualization of girls, because she watched in her hometown a group of children performing a, quote, sensual dance for their parents in a dance troupe. And she said she wanted to shine a light on the challenges that social media presents for young girls. So it almost sounds like people are outraged, but they're almost missing what she's trying to bring awareness to, which is that these girls are already sexualized thanks to social media and crap we do, and that's the problem. That's kind of what she's saying, is like, yeah,
but does that make it? But does that make it okay?
No. She's saying it's not okay. No.
Right. That's interesting.
It was to shine a light on what's happening, and then everyone goes, well, that's disgusting, but she's going, but that's what's happening. Do you not follow me now?
Oh, I do follow
that's
you.
That's my
yes.
point.
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I totally follow
and
you.
And we
yeah.
see dance. Yeah, you see, come on.
But we were also talking Whatever. About the social dilemma as well.
Yeah,
which is,
I want to talk about that, though. Yes. I don't want to talk about cuties. Right. Come on.
So, Jill this morning. Jill is on Hi. The phone. We'll talk to Jill right now. We got Cheryl on hold as well. We're going to talk to both of you about, you saw the social dilemma.
I didn't. I just, what I was talking about was the social media with selfies and things and how people portray themselves, for example, on Facebook, and that it's literally a brief snapshot of their life, which
right.
might be good, but I've seen people at the beach with their kids, and I heard a mom say, if you don't smile for this good, I'm taking you home. And I just was like, what in the heck?
Yeah.
What are we setting? And this is like a 2-year-old child. What are you setting your child up for the rest of their lives?
You're setting them up to smile and pretend like everything's great and put it on social media. And look, my family's so great, everybody.
And you know,
this is like when I went off rigs about how fake I was that day. I posted my kids on social and they were being jerks the whole time. And I came clean about
it.
Because nobody posts their bad moments. Everybody posts the highlight reels.
No.
And you see it through this rose-colored lens of everything's happy,
right?
Everything's fun. Then you go home and you scream at each other. And there's verbal abuse and there's yelling at each other. And who knows what. And nobody shows that part on social media. So
no, but I do I liked social media when it first started. I really enjoyed seeing people's kid pictures and things like that. Now I feel
pictures.
Like it's like I'm going back to middle school or high school, where it's like, oh well, we posted all these pictures of going out with certain friends, so then other people weren't invited, and I feel like it's kind of turning into like
can we say something out loud, though, that
narcissistic.
People, I don't know, people very, not even narcissistic, it's affecting their self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even someone, like, I don't feel like that kind of stuff typically bothers me, but if I perhaps didn't go or do anything all weekend and then I'm strolling through and I'm like, maybe
well,
I
it doesn't bother you because
like, no,
you don't
want to do that, but
hold on.
It does make you think twice about how you're feeling about yourself, which
it does.
You might be just
absolutely
fine and dandy doing nothing.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Jill.
And it doesn't bother her because she's not feeding into the selfie stuff and retouching and using filters. And that's my point. I think that I would love to find some women. Well, somebody will always call in when I ask for someone, but I would love to find these women who take one selfie and post it. I guarantee you, Riggs.
Nobody.
Nobody. I've watched women take 12 selfies, stare at them.
Yep.
Retouch them.
Yep.
Filter them, and you're still not sure if you like it. And then you post it, and then you worry about how many likes you got, right?
And then you don't get enough likes, and you delete it because you go,
so
nobody wanted to see this
anyways.
It's never
just a selfie. It's never like, here's me at the park. It's like a complete calculated selfie that you took 15 of. I just got to say, we all know it. Let's just say it out loud. It's
Jill,
absurd.
Thanks for calling.
Also, like, I would like to put up a picture, like, say I want to change my profile pic. I've literally been like, I'm going to do it late at night because I don't even want I don't do it for like attention or I don't want, I just am
doing everybody gets,
doesn't, you
like
don't want the comments.
Everybody gets the notification that Jill changed her profile picture.
Know,
you're like, I don't care.
I
just wanted the new picture. I don't care.
I know. It's like, I don't need that.
You get it, Jill.
That's
Jill.
What I hate.
Jill, they changed that, by the way. You can do it so it doesn't show up in your news feed now on Facebook. Just so you know. You have to mark
it for that because I just don't, I don't do it.
I get it.
That.
You don't want the attention. We get it.
We get
you. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Jill.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate you listening this morning. Cheryl is on the phone. Cheryl, good morning. You saw The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
I did.
And what did it make
I
you?
Did. And if people did not see it, they need to see it and open their eyes because this is scary. Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
How they know how long you look at pictures, if you scroll by something, what you like, what you don't like, it totally feeds into everything about your personality and your what you like and your beliefs. Yeah.
You know, when everybody's saying, oh, Big Brother's watching, you're damn right Big Brother's watching.
Yes, we're watching. Yes.
Duh, your phone's, your phone's watching you. What? Get over it.
When we got the Alexa, my wife said, we don't want an Alexa. She'll be listening to us all the time. And I said, your phone is already listening to you all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It's already, already listening.
Yep, it is. So that the pop-up ads on Facebook because Google is listening to you and then it links it to you. So
Well, and it's free. They got to make money.
It is. You are the product.
Can
if you're
bring
not,
up another point?
If you aren't paying for the product, you are the product. Go ahead.
The same day that I had some little dilemma, I
don't cut out when you're getting good.
The same day you saw the social dilemma, what?
I saw the social dilemma.
Yes.
I had got a message about how our money was refurbished in 1996 through 2000.
What?
And if you take every denomination, the 1, the 5, the 10, the 50, the 20, and the 100, it shows the towers being blown up.
What?
And then the 2020.
Oh my God, wait, hold on. I'm confused.
Are you talking about something you saw, like folding of money type thing? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, yeah.
Folding it into an airplane and it shows our towers being.
Okay, Riggs, hold on.
I have seen those pictures.
Is it conspiracy theory crap or is it real?
It's somebody that folded a bill. Somebody that folded a bill.
You can see the towers
in a certain way that it looks like it resembles the World Trade Center if you fold it a certain way.
The $20 bill shows him wearing a mask.
If you look close and you stretch, you can see that. I've seen that before, Thank you, Cheryl.
I can tag you in this stuff so you guys can
I'm good. I'm good.
Then I'll see more of it, Cheryl. I don't want to see more of it. I've seen the social dilemma. I know how this works.
This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Allie.
Oh,
okay, Riggs. So last night, it was a heck of a night on Dancing with the Stars because it's Carol Baskin made her debut. However,
this is also the first time in history I've DVR'd an episode of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's amazing. I don't even have a DVR anymore.
I just wanted to see Carol Baskin. That's it.
Yeah, well, she was on, but the best part of the show was that her dead ex-husband, his family ran a commercial during the show asking for someone to come forward and semi-blaming Carol, which we all get.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and hear the commercial that her dead husband's family played during her debut last night.
Don Lewis's three daughters, a former employee and an attorney are the voices you will hear in this. Carol Baskin's dead ex-husband are missing.
Oh. Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family, and to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
I'm Ann, Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice.
Yep.
Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
I was just glad it wasn't a political ad because I saw it come up and I was like, what is this an ad for? And I was like,
I commend them, though, for being pissed off, you know, because you got a missing dad and you've got the joke of Tiger King
and
everyone's laughing about it, not taking your dad's dead, you think, and you know that B probably did it, and yet you can't get charges, you can't prove it. It's got to be crazy to watch her profiting off of literally part of the story is that you think she killed your father. I'd be furious, too.
Yeah.
I mean.
Uh-huh. And to
so
do it, during,
it.
And
they're
to
trying
do it.
To make him a human. They're saying, look, we're humans. This show may be a joke to you. Tiger King may be a joke, but like we're people. That's what they're trying to do.
It's a real person. There's victims in everything. There's always the victim. You forget about them sometimes. You focus on the killer and what happened, but you forget about the person that died, the person that's missing. And the fact that they did it during this show when there were so many eyes on Carol Baskin, because who knows? Maybe somebody that did know that had forgotten about it or like put it aside.
I don't think it's over yet, though.
I don't think it's over either.
I think karma can take years.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, I don't think this is over. I don't necessarily think, I could see her, Tiger King's in jail. I'd be fine if her and him were Joe Exotic. Carol Baskin,
everybody,
put them both in. I'm
pretty
fine.
Much
They're
everybody,
both awful human beings.
Pretty much everybody on that show, for the most part, belongs in prison.
That's true. And by the way, I didn't even tell you who said they felt like a loser after they got fired from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, who?
Erin Andrews, which, honey, I don't think you've been trending for a few years now, but her and Tom Bergeron were fired, and Tyra Banks is now the new host, so we're fine with that.
Okay.
Erin Andrews was the thing, the coolest, the most trending, and
I never, the first time I met Erin, heard about Erin Andrews was in Gainesville, Florida. She went to the University of Florida.
Female reporter. We have a ton of female sports reporter.
Yeah.
We have tons of female sports reporters now. It's not that interesting. You know what I mean? It's
nope.
Like, yes, that's great. I'm glad we have more women.
Right.
But it makes her less special.
By the way, Allie, I would be remiss if we talked about Carol Baskin and her husband and did not play this.
Carol Baskin.
Because.
Killed her husband, whacked him.
Whacked him.
Can't convince me that it didn't happen.
No, sir.
Fed him to tigers, they snapped.
Where's Don Lewis?
What's happening?
Where is he?
Carol Baskin.
You know something, don't you, Carol? Don't you? Allie, we got a thank you note in the mail for something.
Oh, did you? What was it?
It was a thank you for a baby gift.
Oh, well.
Hold on a second.
I know you didn't go buy a baby gift.
Hold on.
So,
by the way, so.
This made me laugh, actually. But go ahead.
And I'm sure I'm sure there are more men out there that do this, and I'm not the only man that does this, and I will 100% say that I do this when I take credit for things that my wife does. For example, when a couple in our life has a baby, my wife is the first one to jump on there and find a nice little baby gift.
Yeah.
And she goes to Amazon and she's found this company that makes customized storybooks where it will put your kid's name in the actual storybook and weave it in.
Yeah.
So it's an actual story about Roman and Roman's adventures and blah, blah, blah. It's a really cute little baby gift.
Right.
So my wife.
And I saw this because your wife sent it to a friend and I saw the friend post the adorable book on social media.
Yeah.
So I said to Riggs today, you remember that cool book you sent her? And Riggs goes, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, you and your wife sent her that cool gift. And you go, what?
Yeah.
And you go, oh yeah, I remember that. And I go, see, now here's where I'm pissed, okay? Yeah. Because you got a couple. You got these couples. And I'm mad. Yes, this is the single mom projecting my anger about this and how I can't constantly get people gifts and this and that and worry about your damn birthday, okay?
Yeah, thank you for being honest about that part.
No, really, it's self-projection because I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Because these guys, like you, sit there, and then the mom goes, what a nice couple. They're so thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them sending us a gift. When really, you didn't do a damn thing,
nope,
did
not
you?
Me. My
Your wife
did.
Sent something, and you get all this credit. You're doing as much work as I'm doing, Riggs, and you're getting all the credit.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm totally pissed about it, because I don't have time for that. Granted, you might have done that without your wife. I will give you that. You're a thoughtful person.
Yes, I am.
It just tells me how men get all the credit for this stuff women do. It's unbelievable.
This happens more often than you think, Allie. It does. It really does.
It's not fair.
And you know what?
I just want a spouse to send gifts for me then. That's all I want. I don't want to make out with them.
On the flip side, it's happened the other way too. I've sent gifts to friends that I know that she doesn't know and put both of our names on it, and she has not known about it. So I have done that before, because I feel like as a team, we are married. We are, we're one, we're two people. We're two separate whole individuals, but together we make an awesome team. So
are you the exception though? Are all men stepping up when one of their friends has a baby and sending a gift? Give me a break.
I'm totally an exception to that.
Yeah,
to little things. But no, but I will admit 100% that I totally will take credit for something that my wife does like that. And, I'm willing to bet I'm not the only one. I guarantee there are other people out there, couples who can relate to this. 414-799-1037. Maybe it goes the other way in some relationships. I don't know. Maybe the guy's overly thoughtful and the chick takes credit for it.
You know,
I don't
know. Why else is a trigger? Because then we look at people and go, oh, they have it together, when really someone's just doing everything for them. That's the other thing that triggers me as someone who's been married and watching dynamics in marriages that aren't healthy, is like one doing everything and the other just looking good for it. You don't do that again, Riggs. You're not that guy. But again, triggered. And we go, what a great guy. And really, she's doing everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I'll take credit for the stuff my wife does.
Love it.
I'm so grateful for it. I'm thankful for my wife. What I'm really saying is thankful to my wife because she remembers that stuff. 414-799-1037. Does this happen in your relationship? Can you relate to this at all? We want to talk to you. We'll take your calls.
Here come the women screaming.
Yes. And we'll read your text next. Hold on. 103.7 Kiss FM. It's Riggs and Allie. Good morning. I take credit for my wife giving gifts. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because she's the thoughtful one.
You didn't think about it till I pointed it out to you, in fairness.
No, I did not.
That men get all this credit for being these thoughtful people when the wife's the one doing everything.
I'm a smart guy. I knew what I was doing. I know what I'm doing.
And I'll just be fair here. If you're a gay couple and you're the one husband out of the two doing it, you too. Or the lesbian couple, you get the credit too. It doesn't have to be gender. I'm just saying. There's always one in a relationship.
There's one over it. There's one overachiever. One overachiever, my wife. One underachiever. That's me. That's how it rolls. Good morning, Kiss FM. Who's this?
This is Sandy.
Hey, Sandy. You were calling about gift giving. Is it? Are you married?
No. I'm divorced. I was married, and now I have a boyfriend. For
okay.
The last 4 years. So.
All right. So how does gift giving go as a couple?
I mean, I always get the gifts, and I feel like it's kind of an unspoken understanding. So I don't really take offense when.
Well, this is how we enable.
I feel like. I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. Like,
I feel
like the other woman, the other couple, the guy doesn't give a crap, and the woman knows like it's really from her, but they have to say it's from them.
Right.
You know?
You don't have to do anything. That's my point. You're like, it just is what it is. It's just an unspoken rule. I'm like, is it though? See, now I'm actually going to start a movement.
Is it an unspoken thing for me to always reach for my wallet every time we go out to eat, for me to be the one to pay as a man? Is that an unspoken thing as well?
Ooh, good one.
It's kind of, isn't
good
it?
Good one, Riggs. She's thinking.
It's a little unspoken, isn't it?
Just, I don't know.
And if he does,
he's trying to point out these gender roles or whatever the hell you want to call them, where one person's just expected to do everything.
Yeah.
And it's
you're expected as the woman to raise the kids and do all everything with your children all the time. And the men are expected to go and pay the bills and take care of the lawn stuff all the time.
Like I do inside. He does outside all this. Like,
Well, thank you so much for calling.
I want to commend her for being honest.
Yes,
I don't want her
course.
To feel like, because she's being totally honest. Like, that's what we want. But that doesn't
Absolutely.
Mean it's okay. we're like enabling.
We're just pointing it out. That's our job on the show. We point
we're
out the awkward
make
things.
You feel bad about yourself.
We put
that's
a spotlight.
What Riggs and Allie are here for.
We put a spotlight on the awkward things and we make them normal.
And do you know why we put a spotlight on those things, girlfriend? Because we're screwed up ourselves.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the family, Jill.
You are admitted.
Sandy, right?
Yes.
Sandy, thank you so much for listening this morning. We appreciate you calling in.
I
right?
needed that, Sandy, that good laugh. That
we'll,
was good.
We'll talk to you soon. Nancy is listening in Oconomowoc and has a lot to say. Nancy.
She said first time caller.
Nancy.
Hey, girl.
First time
caller.
I'm
Nancy, and I am from Oconomowoc, and yes, my brother's in the Navy, and he has a partner that they drive cross country right now.
Okay.
But he's been in the Navy for about 6-7 years.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe longer. Maybe it's been 10 years. But anyway, he's got about another 2.5 years to go. And when they're gone, they live in the basement of my mother's home.
Okay.
And I'm constantly doing dishes for them, making their bed, vacuuming, doing things. And I don't get credit for it. I don't get a thank you for it.
No,
because they're grown-ups.
Right? Do you expect for them to be more grateful for the things that you're doing for them? Or do they show appreciation in other ways?
Right. Sometimes they'll say thank you, and then again, sometimes they won't.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to tell you I have a 32-year-old son that's going to be 32 on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
And he's handicapped.
Is he single?
He's got cerebral palsy, so he can't walk,
oh.
He can't talk, he can't see, but he can hear.
Okay.
Right.
So he listened to us with the radio.com app? Is that what you're trying to say, Nancy?
Yeah. He's in a home, and it's not, I mean, my brother thinks it's his godson, godchild.
Hey, Nancy?
But he thinks of, yes?
Yeah. Hold on the phone just a second, all right?
Okay.
Hold on just for one more second.
No, I think she was getting to her point of how she has one son who is in a home, right?
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
he's in Fort Atkinson.
But then the other one is living in the house. You see the difference in the two kids. I think that's where she was going with that. But this is my fear as a mom.
By the way, thank your brother.
They're going to be adults and I'm going to be still doing this kind of crap for them, cleaning their house. Like, I have to not do that.
It's
and Nancy, you should stop too.
It's a thankless job being a parent and a sibling sometimes.
He's 32.
The thing is, he's going to take over someday for my mom once she's gone, and she's 88 years old.
Yeah. Well, thank your brother for his service. We appreciate him serving our country.
I appreciate it too. I thank him all the time, and he's so proud of wearing his Navy clothes.
Yes, they love doing that, man. They look good in their Navy outfits. Thanks for calling.
Yes, they do.
Appreciate you listening. People are texting into 414-799-1037. My husband always feels the need to drive. I'm okay with it because when I drive, he becomes a passenger driver. That's another thing. I hate letting my wife drive. I get anxiety when she drives.
Well, yeah, because you can't control it. You don't trust her to
drive. Control freak. Yeah, that's it.
What's up? Hi. What up? Hi. This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Allie.
Well, it happened last night. We dropped to an all-new low when we put Carol Baskin on Dancing with the Stars, but I bet you it got some ratings.
Hell yeah,
it did. I'll tell you what it didn't get her. Good score. She scored 11 out of 30 points total.
She was not the best dancer, no.
Color me shocked. I mean, really.
They used her for name only because people went, Carol Baskin? Killed her husband, whacked him? She's going to be on? That's awesome.
It's crazy, right? Because it was like the biggest show of the year. Everyone was in quarantine when it came out.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things where people had the ability to watch it if they had Netflix. Well, fast forward, now they've cast her on Dancing with the Stars, so you know her ex-husband's family was pissed because they think she killed him.
He's been missing since 97. So
that's 23 years. Almost four.
Yeah.
Because 2020 is almost over, thank God.
Uh-huh.
We're halfway through September. We're getting there.
Yeah.
But look, so his family, her ex-husband, who's missing, bought a commercial during Dancing with the Stars, which I think is genius, just to remind people that this is a human being. Like, this is our dad. This is our family. is profiting off of part of the story of her possibly killing our dad.
If your dad was missing for 23 years and
I'd be pissed.
Somebody who was maybe involved with it, like his ex-wife was out there like this, paraded around, like Allie said.
I'd be mad.
Yeah.
I'd be mad. So play the commercial that they played. I got to hear this. Yeah, is it?
The three voices you'll hear, there's Don Lewis's three daughters, a former employee of his, and an attorney who goes like straight after Carol Baskin. Listen to this.
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family, and to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
Yep.
I'm Ann, Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
$100,000 reward?
I don't even think that's enough, though, because I think Carol Baskin could pay off anyone close to her that knows more than that. So I think the number needs to be higher.
Yeah? You think she's paying people more than $100,000? To keep quiet?
To keep him quiet about killing her ex? Yes, if that's the case. I think, but, I mean, props to the family. Can I tell you something interesting about Dancing with the Stars, though, last night? Tyra Banks, who is, shut up.
I love saying no when you ask rhetorical questions. No, I know.
Okay, fine.
Of course, yes.
Tyra Banks is the new host, right?
Yeah.
And she teased, which is in her script, okay?
Yeah.
So basically I'm pointing out how the show was so focused on Carol Baskin's. They said that Tyra Banks teased Carol Baskin's performance.
Uh-huh.
Three times a segment.
Yep.
Through the whole show. Three times a segment.
Oh, I was hooked in, dude. I was hooked in. I knew they were going to put Carol Baskin at the end because she's the lead. I mean, she's the big, the one that everybody wants to see, that everybody was talking about. So, of course, they're going to put her at the end. So, you got to sit through all the other crappy ones. I did watch Neve Shulman. He was all right.
I love Neve from Catfish. She's like a genuinely good human. You know what I mean? Like, Carol Baskin balances it out by being a horribly bad human. So, it's like a seesaw. Saw a teeter totter.
Yes.
Whatever.
There you go. At the end of the day, we all know, really, that it's Carol Baskin.
killed her husband,
whacked him.
Can't convince me that it
you
didn't
You can't convince
happen.
Me. No.
Hey, Venom, yes. Tigers, they snack.
What's happened?
Can
What's
I
happened?
Call?
Carol
can I call the hotline and be like, I saw Tiger King. I know who did it. Carol
yes.
Baskin. Like, can
dude.
I call and say that?
Dude, if you split the money with me, yeah, absolutely. I'll go halfsies with you on it for sure. Your children are correcting you now? Is that what's going on, Allie?
So embarrassing.
It's 103.7 so Kiss FM.
I did not tell you what happened when you took my friend skydiving.
Oh, that's
it
right.
It was a classic Allie moment where
I got my
I've
got my tandem instructor rating now, so I can take people skydiving now. I'm an officially instructor now.
Yes, and my friend showed up, mm-hmm. and she wanted to go skydiving. She's going through a divorce, a lot going on. Rig said, you want me to take her skydiving? She was in. It was a perfect
Hell yes.
moment she needed going through what she's going through. But I didn't tell you what happened while you guys were in the air.
Okay.
Because why am I so dumb sometimes? Listen to this. I know positive self-talk, but this is funny, Riggs.
What could have possibly happened in the 25 minutes that we were gone? 25
dude,
minutes
you guys were in the air and I was looking for you, okay? So I'm watching for the parachutes to start coming because you see the plane go up.
Yeah.
And then you see the plane disappear and then you see the plane kind of come back, and I didn't know if you guys had been dropped by the plane, if you were in the air. So I'm just looking up at the sky looking for my friend and Riggs skydiving. Where are they? Where could they be? And so I'm looking and all of a sudden, Riggs, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you, I think.
Yeah.
I see you come. You're so far away. You're so little. And I'm like, that's got to be them. Look, everyone. And I'm pointing. And I'm like, that's got to be Riggs and Anna in the air skydiving. And right
it's hard to
as
tell.
I say that,
yeah.
my just turned 7-year-old first grader, Hudson, as confident as ever, turns and looks and turns back and goes, Mommy, that's an eagle.
It was a bird?
It was a bird, Riggs. And it was so a bird. And the funny thing was, I don't know, maybe I'm blind in old age, whatever, but Hudson, my first grader, is like, Mommy, that's an eagle. I felt so dumb. I was like, oh gosh, you're right, that is an eagle. That's not them. In fact, there's nobody in the air right now. That's an eagle by itself flying through the air. But I mean, to be corrected by a first grader about a bird, I was like, how did I forget to tell Riggs this?
Well, that's
story?
Classic. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It could be anything when you're in a skydiving place. It really could. So
I was convinced it was people.
You're not that far off.
I really thought it was people. But no.
From a distance.
And he was right. Well, this is like you see what you want to see, right? We just talked about this because I'm looking at it going, it's got to be people dropping in the air. It's so little and far away. And he's like, Mom.
There are other things in the air than people.
Oh, so there you go, Riggs. I thought it was you. It was an eagle.
Well, we felt like a bird. We'll tell you that much.
Well, and without Hudson, I would have maintained it was you. Thank
just
goodness.
Keep following it. Why are they going further away? Why are they landing? Why are they eating those fries in the parking lot? That's all right.
So there you go.
Thank God the kids were there. It's Kiss FM.
Yeah, right.
103.7 Kiss FM. It's Riggs and Allie. Good morning. You can always catch up with our show at 1037kissfm.com or with the radio.com app. Your phone is now your radio. Did you learn anything on the show this morning, Allie?
Well, I always learn something on the show, but I learned that you and other men like to take credit when their wife does everything. And I mean everything when it comes to gift giving.
Yeah.
They send a gift, they buy the gift, they sign your name to the gift, and you just sit there looking like a great person. I said, man, I wish I had somebody to send all the gifts in my life.
You know what?
But no. So I said, I'm totally resentful. But I think it's funny, too, how couples, one half gets all the credit for being so thoughtful when really one person did it.
Yep. 100%. And
these are my observations.
No. I'll take credit for that 100%.
I'll take more credit for that too.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We absolutely do. And you women enable us by doing that.
I agree.
And writing both of our names on the card.
Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From now on, buy a gift, but only put your name on the card and see what happens. See what happens.
Or buy a gift and then next time tell him it's his turn. How about that?
There you go.
Be like, did you know Julie had a baby? Can you send her one, please?
Who's Julie?
What's whoever, the kid? I don't know.
No, that's what I would say is the man. I go, who's Julie? Who's Julie?
Exactly.
Who does it? Do we know them? Do we hang out with them?
Right.
And how much do I need to
a party
spend?
And you'd be like, Julie!
Julie! Like, this your new baby? Did you like the gift? Well, I learned something about you, Allie.
What?
that Allie,
oh God.
while watching for her friend and I to land from a skydive
yes.
last weekend,
yes.
I'm strapped to her back as her tandem instructor. You're looking up for us to see us falling from the sky.
Yes. Couldn't wait to see you guys come down.
And then you look up in the sky and you go, wait, there they are right there. That's them. That's got to be them. And your seven-year-old turns and says, Mom, that's an eagle. That is not them. That is an eagle. Without missing a beat.
My first grader didn't even flinch. She was like, that's an eagle, Mom. I'm like,
yes.
I knew that. I was just kidding.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, that's an eagle, right?
It was a bird, indeed.
Still looking to see, is it Anna and Riggs? No.
No, it was a bird, for sure.
That's
you
funny.
Can get our show on demand at 1037kissfm.com. We got commercial-free hours all day, every day. Another one starting at noon. And you're on till noon, right, Allie?
I am. I'll be here.
Word up. It's Kiss FM with the weekend.
Riggs and Allie.
It's Riggs and Allie.
Weekday mornings. And always on demand at 1037kissfm.com.